Okay. I wonder if we could get the, do we have the where we're at? Do we have the where we're at updated? Have we got a fresh one of these? No? Can we get one? Awesome. Thanks. Okay, carrying on with the questions, Councillor Caterina.
Thank you. So with the transit portion of this, Mr. Wanzura, the pilot project that you, along with EPS, ran this summer for a short period of time provided some incredible results from the two working together in not just their presence, but on the lines, but actual warrants and other things that were attributed to the success. So, is that...
That's accurate. I think we had great feedback from the public and from our own staff. And I think, as mentioned earlier in the budget meeting, in one instance, the EPS was there and took in or dealt with an individual had 80 some outstanding warrants. I believe. I think the deputy chief can confirm that.
Yeah. So is LRT a very good option for all our citizens? It is one of the options for others to do their work, which we need that safety and security addressed more and more so given the expansion of the system with the Nate line coming on, and this is going to be a mindset going forward with the Southeast LRT that we need to provide safety and security. And I think that this program was one of the most successful pilots we've ever run, and given that this is embedded in Op 30, and at this point with the conversation going the way it's going, I'm not sure where we're going to end up, but the nine positions Deputy Chief Simpson, from what I recall, is 1.4. Ms. Rosen, that's correct?
The it's 1.346 plus 243,000 in one time, just to kind of get that program up and running and get everybody equipped.
I'm sorry, say that again.
So 1.346
yeah.
is the ongoing that's required,
yeah.
and then 243 in ongoing just to get everybody up and running and equipped in one time.
243 one time.
Yeah. So a total of 1.589.
Okay, so, you know, that one for me is extremely important given the priority or the visibility that's required on the Northeast line, in particular, the Northeast line coming into Churchill and the entire downtown corridor, I think, is extremely important. This is one of the, I think, the most important components of driving ridership to the system. Outside of parking lots and everything else we do, the perception goes a long way to either saying, yes, I'm going to ride it, or no, I'm not going to ride it. Deputy Chief?
Absolutely. And look at other North American models. The branding of your LRT in particular system actually influences the perception of your safety in your city.
Okay, so that again too is you know, going forward with FCM next year, obviously a huge focus on the City of Edmonton from all Canadian municipalities, the FIFA World Cup, the triathlon, everything that's going on in the city, the LRT system will be the face of what people see and their perception of the City of Edmonton.
Absolutely. A large number of people ride that system, and therefore their perceptions are based on that ride.
And a lot of those people have had the opportunity to ride other systems in other cities or other countries. So they have a comparator to stack us up or not.
Absolutely. That's what I do when I travel in other cities. So.
Okay, so I think that portion of this, I don't know which way this is going to go. I support both packages, and I didn't make this as a separate motion, Mr. Mayor, because of the fact that it was embedded in Op 30. So
we'd stack it up as an amendment to to Councillor McKean's motion as the lower amount, but it's the same thing. So it's certainly in order if you want to make that, and we'll come back to it.
I was hoping I wouldn't have to, but now I've got some question marks. So I'd like to make that amendment to Op 30.
Op 30 is not in front of us, but if you want to make a motion for the
both.
Well, we're asking questions on both, but only the ones in front of us. So I figured it'd be okay to ask questions back and forth. That's okay. You can still move that, and we can park that, and we would bring it forward with Op 30, because it is essentially, it speaks to the same thing as Op 30. So we'd speak to both of those at the same time and vote on the larger number first. So.
Okay.
If you want to move that as a fresh amendment, that it just be for the transit portion at, what would it be, 1.?
It would be 1.346 from ongoing and 243 from one time.
Well, there is no one time. That's the only. But we can cross that bridge when we get to it.
Okay.
So we'll get, if you can do up the wording for the clerks, and we'll figure it out. So we'll come back to that, Councillor, but that's in order to make that at this time. And Councillor McKean will second that.
Okay, so that's been made, and I'll get the paperwork done here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Councillor Knack?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is the new councillor question, because I'm still going to use that, being a year and a month on the job. So if both, so not only do we have the 54, which are already included in the funded, if we did the unfunded packages in their entirety, we would be looking at 138 new police officers in 2015. So what I'm trying to understand, so I know Calgary just had a conversation, and they're doing 10 police officers over the next 4 years. And so I don't know enough about the cities and the differences to, that seems like a pretty big discrepancy to me, and I mean, I'm just trying to get your insight. We're comparable right now, as between the two cities, we're almost identical in police officers per 100,000 people, so help me understand.
One thing to put in context, I can tell you the Calgary Police budget is 30% of the overall city budget. Mm-hmm. They've grown a lot more than we have. Right now, the other piece is our demographic has changed in terms of growth relative to Calgary. We used to trail; we're no longer. We're leading that process, so that's part of it, and we're seeing that experience in our environment today.
Sorry, but I guess you know, population-wise, we grew about 30,000; they grew about 38,000. Their trajectory right now looking to be a little higher than Edmonton. So again, I guess to me, 54 new officers and $186 million in new capital projects over the next 4 years seems like a really substantial investment. I struggle when I look at, and then on top of all of that, another 84 officers. So I'm just trying to get a better grasp of it when I'm looking at other cities, when I'm comparing these numbers, and I don't want it to come off that I don't support it, because there's a lot of support coming. I'm just wondering why we need to do even more this year, all this year.
Basically, historically, we've looked at our staffing plan relative to our policing environment and to the growth in the city, and also the challenges we face as a police service. We identify the numbers that we see being needed to maintain our level of service and what we're experiencing in the growth environment. And the other piece, information is relative to Calgary. What they experience in terms of what they deal with in terms of crime is different than what we do. They have a much lower rate. So, once again, that's a factor in what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and obviously every city has different and unique characteristics. I'm trying to grapple and get some type of comparison in my head to say, like, do I really need another 84 on top of another 54? That's really what I'm trying to get with, because I know you have a need, and there's obviously the province needs to come in with this. I don't think there's any disputing that. So, okay, thank you very much.
Councillor McKean.
Thank you. Deputy Chief, if I remember rightly, we had a stat that it was something like 25%, 30% of the people you deal with are from out of the city. It was something like that, if I remember.
19%.
19? Okay. Do you have any idea if the surrounding communities, are their police busy? Do you know?
Just generally, based on previous experience, the answer, it depends on the particular community. Three of the five, I'd say, are busy, yes.
Okay, but of course, we don't know what their staffing levels are that sort of thing, whether they're per capita like us or...
That's correct. I don't.
That, I think, is one of the other frustrations that I have with this, with your request. And again, you know, I take you, I'm taking you at your word that this is a need, but it's so frustrating, the lack of provincial support and the fact that we are this hub for Northern Alberta, hub for the region. I suspect there's a lot of young guys who live here and work in Fort McMurray or work in Fort McMurray and visit here and have a good time, which is great. But sometimes their partying goes too far, and all that adds up. And then we have social disorder issues that we have to grapple with, and many of those are health issues. They're not criminal justice issues. And yet our police services end up being first responders to that, too. So this is the frustration. I won't speak for anybody else. This is my frustration with the high cost of policing and growing cost of policing is... I think so much of it is being covered by the regular taxpayer, and the issues are not Edmonton's necessarily. They're not criminal justice necessarily, and so I'm at a loss here, and I will, I think, support the mayor's an amendment, and hope that we get some positive news from the Prentice government.
Deputy Mayor, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
With a desire to clarify the intent on the second, on the proposed amendment, that first of all, the clerks have revised wording just to be clear about that the scope is unchanged. This is just fiddling the annualization, to be completely honest about it. We would deal with, and my intent was that we would deal with the question of the annualization when the mill rate is set. And I'm going to suggest that we, when we come around to the second motion, I'm going to suggest that we hold off on portions of that or all of that until mill rate set, until we see a provincial budget. Now, I recognize as much as the next person that given the Premier's speech yesterday, the likelihood of there being a long-term, thoughtful, comprehensive, equitable answer to police funding in this province by next spring is slim. But it's going to be zero if we don't give them a hard time over it. And I think we have to do that. And I think if we just do a 7% tax increase and say, all right, it's all on us, once again, then we let them off the hook. So I think we gotta create some heat, we gotta create some tension on this. And in the letter that that I sent on behalf of council at the budget submission, I talked all about you know, LRT and interchange funding and all the stuff that we need over the next 5 to 10 years to sustain city building and the growth of Canada's fastest growing city. But I said our greatest point of pressure right now is social disorder and community safety. That is the immediate consequence of that growth. And we see that manifesting first and foremost in the need for more police officers, but we also saw it in the REACH package and the prevention work that we're trying to do, because we believe in that philosophy, even though it's not directly our jurisdictional responsibility. And so so I'd have a hard time just swallowing funding these positions again. I'll have a hard time swallowing funding the next package of positions. I know we need to do something, and I know we need to send the police the signal so that they can begin to do some staffing up just to hold the line. And I think if but Edmontonians have been holding the line since I got here. And it's been one of the biggest things driving our tax increases is the cost of policing Northern Alberta. The headquarters is here, but make no mistake, the work that our members do is for the protection and for the benefit of the northern half of this province. And it has, for various demographic reasons, and because of the concentration of corrections spaces around here and people that get released into this environment, our situation is different than Calgary. Calgary understands that, and I believe the Premier understands that from the conversations I've had with him. It doesn't mean we're going to get results in 1 year, but just because we might not get results 1 year doesn't mean that we should take the hit again and it doesn't mean that we should fold and not make a strong case to the province. So this is my commitment to you and to members of council and through you to the people we all work for, that this has got to change. Us paying 93% of the cost of policing for this city, which is a disproportionate share of the cost of policing Northern Alberta, and doing that almost exclusively on the property tax, save a tiny bit of photo radar, $15 million that goes into this. This is unsustainable. This is one of those structural changes in the fiscal reality of this city and this province that needs to be addressed through something like the city charter process. So maybe this will turn into the charter beard, in which case, for everyone's benefit, I hope there's something in this budget for this rather than two budgets out. But I think that's why I'm proposing this as a bit of a stopgap on this motion, and why I'll be challenged with the next motion, which not to fully fund this at this time. I think we got to step that in somehow too. And then, the real big hit on this would be when the annualization hits, when the stuff comes online downtown, and then when we hit the next $14 million request next year. That's when we really need the province to do something other than a population adjustment to our provincial policing grants. Something much more dramatic that addresses not only boots on the street, which we very badly need, but also prevention, so that over time we need fewer boots on the street. And that I've made that case to the legislature. I'll continue to make that case publicly. And this is, if we get nothing else out of the charter, this is the one thing that I think Edmonton needs to make things at least fair for us in our region and fair for us in Northern Alberta. Now, I would like long-term commitments to infrastructure funding as well, specific to the work that we do to sustain and support economic growth in Northern Alberta, but I'm out of time, and I'm way off the topic of this particular amendment. So I'll take the chair back and roll myself out of order and go to Councillor Anderson.
Were we speaking to it?
That was not closed, was it?
Nope, because I just have an amendment. So I was speaking to it, but it's not a close because the main motion is really Councillor Loken, so he can have the last word.
Let me throw this up in the air for Council to consider, but I don't want to look next year at having a discussion about funding the annualization. Next year, we have the same council dealing with the budget. So any pre-approval that we do today will be with the consent of the same council who is going to deal with the next year's operating budget. And if there is a valid intent by the mayor's motion to add a small percentage of 1 point to acknowledge the legitimacy of the request, I would suggest that we pre-approve the annualization so that when that budget document comes back to us next year, we're not arguing about it. It's in. Is that a value?
I think that would happen automatically, but you could verify that with Ms. Rosen.
So I think that's why I gave some suggested rewording to the clerk, just to confirm that would happen.
That was my intent, was that we
would spread it
over 2 years. If we do get some help, we could clean it up at the mill rate. If we get some help in the provincial budget on this file, then we could clean it up at mill rate set. And failing that, the annualization would hit when the costs hit for a full year next year.
Well, the amendment, by omission, assumes that the annualization is going to have to be covered in 16, correct? It says cover the 15 portion.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
And I would assume then that the intent would be that...
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if there's better... The clerks have provided better wording that...
So this is the wording I suggested, so... That's the message it sends to budget.
That's my intent. Well, there's no getting away from it. It's a cash flow thing.
All of us simply acknowledge the fact that we've pre-approved 2.7.
Absolutely. And if we get some help, we can use that help towards it. And if we don't, then once again, the Edmonton taxpayer is going to pick it up.
Thank you.
Albeit in a year's time. Councillor Henderson?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor?
On a point of order,
are
yes.
Are we voting on the higher number first, then?
We would vote on the higher number first, yes. Yeah. Councillor Henderson?
I'm just going to speak to this, and I've been struggling with this for a number of reasons. I think, just to start out, I think, holding my nose, I will, for a number of reasons, I will support the lower number. My concerns, and I have real concerns about doing that with annualization, because I think we're just digging ourselves a deeper hole. But if we really need these positions, not funding them at all is digging ourselves a deeper hole. My larger concern, having been here and done this now for 7 years, where the police have always been substantially above in what they're getting in growth from all the rest of the city, is we continue to pilfer from the rest of the city, which is dealing with the fact that our funding does not keep up with growth and is therefore being cutting back on how much we can service of that growth. That's what's paying the price for this. And we have been exempting the police from that conversation. And I think we need to recognize that. I think that's the real challenge we're dealing with here. And yes, I think probably the public probably supports that, because I think safety is important to them. But we've got a real crisis in this city that is not going to go away, and we're looking at that in the projections that the police are making for us going forward, which is how on earth we continue to pay for the fact that the challenges of growth in this city are not paid for by the amount we're getting in growth in our revenues. And this comes up every year, and every year the police are outside of that because the set of rules is set. We set a set of rules for the rest of the city, and the rest of the city abides by it, and the police come in and say, we can't do it with that, we need more. And we've done that for all of the 7 years I've been here, we've done that for all but 1 year. And I just don't know how we sustain that over the long term, but I do recognize the need is there, and I recognize the desire of the citizens to have the services here. But I don't want to pretend that we could cut something else out to do this. I think that's a myth, right? So the citizens think that there's something we can take out of the budget in order to fund this need. That's not true either. I mean, this is representing a major, major chunk of the small amount of increase that's actually in this budget for operating. If you take the 1.5% out, which is actually really a capital investment, and catch up on capital work we didn't do many years ago. This is a big chunk of that increase, and both sides of the city are going to be, both the police side and all the rest of our cities dealing with that growth, are going to be impacted by these choices year by year. And either we were prepared to pay for it with higher taxes, which we also hear people are very concerned about, or we're not going to have something, and we're not going to have something that is core and that is really important to people. And I'm feeling stuck between a rock and a hard place on this, which is why I will support the idea of not taking the annualization and the hopes, and I think probably the naive hopes that something will be different. But I don't know what other solutions we have right now, so begrudgingly I will support it.
Councillor Assinger?
I too have been struggling with this. We have growth pressures. And as I looked at that and the recognition that there's 54 new officers coming, I don't think we can be all things, and I am not going to support either amendment. I just feel that it'd be nice to get the dollars from the province, but if we go ahead and start funding it, I'm less confident they'll support it. So because of that, I just don't think that Edmonton citizens should foot the bill entirely, and I just can't support it right now. Thanks.
Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Esslinger just pretty much summed up my thoughts, too, which is that, you know, I think all of us, and again, just like when we had a discussion on another capital item with the police, I don't think there's a single person here who doesn't support the police service, who doesn't want them to be able to do the job they need to do. It's abundantly clear, at least through comments I know the mayor made previously, that the province is not fulfilling their obligation they need to help alleviate some of this funding. I worry that even by, and that's why I don't feel like I can support either right now, because I think we just need to draw the line. This is the one we draw the line on. And we go to the province and say, here are two packages right now that we cannot fund because you're not contributing. thankfully, as the city, we're still going to put in 54 new officers this year in 2015. And we're still going to support $186 million in new capital investment over the next 4 years. So we're not sacrificing our duty to provide those necessary services. We are showing our commitment to the police and the need to do that. We need to take these two and just go to them and say, we're not putting a dollar in because we cannot afford to. Those people that are on the lowest in fixed incomes are the ones who, of course, take the burden of property taxes more than anyone else. And I appreciate what the mayor's doing on the amendment, and so I don't support it, not because, again, not supporting the police. I think that's where we draw the line. Let's just say we're not doing either of these two, and let's take that message to the province and tell them it's time for you to step up. Because they haven't. Thank you.
Councilor Walters?
Thank you. So back in the early 2000s, I did some work around 118th Ave in the inner city for a number of years, and I remember working with citizens in those days asking for more police resources, foot patrols on 95th Ave, foot patrols on 118th Ave, foot patrols around schools where there was prostitution and John activity. And the refrain then was in some ways the same as today. It was this, I remember the metaphor, we're trying to put a twin-size sheet over a king-size bed. That was sort of repeated and repeated and repeated. But in the last 8 years, we've increased resources to police by 60%, 35% in the last 35% in the last 5 years. Population hasn't increased that much in that time. Last 3 years, 11% with an 8% population increase. And compared to other provinces, excluding the territories, we're kind of in the same spot. And the mayor had said earlier that it doesn't matter if it's a boom town or a bust town or something in the middle. It's just the policing changes. You still have the need. So I don't know that, considering that we're way above population growth with police resources, I'm struggling to support even the lower number. But that being said, the primary issue in my part of town, and I'm looking at this from a citywide perspective, and I appreciate the needs that other councillors have in their wards when it comes to policing, but in the part of town that I represent, the constituents that I represent, traffic safety has been repeatedly, for the past number of years, the top of everyone's concern, list of concerns, but yet we've allocated no direct resources to that, even with funding increases. So you can appreciate my skepticism that new resources, even though you say six, it doesn't say six in the profile. It doesn't talk about traffic resources in the profile. So I'm going to just take your word that if I support the second motion, the mayor's motion, that gets us down the road to dealing with that very particular and serious concern in the southwest of the city. So I will support the smaller amount right now. I also think that the work we invest in the information management stuff that we've heard about, the amount of time that our officers are tied up or choked off from doing actual police work and doing preventative, proactive police work is probably going to be some of our biggest ROI with the federal government. So I think we should invest some serious time in that. So I'll support the smaller number. And hope that, since this is my chance to get that commitment, that actually leads to increased resources for the particular need in a very large division of the Southwest.
I got to caution you because it's, under the Police Act, we can't get the commitment per se.
I'm not expecting a commitment.
You're urging. Okay, just checking.
The importance of that issue and the calls to my office on that issue, the nervousness of parents because of the changing nature of school traffic is no secret. And certainly the need for resources is also no secret. So hopefully this leads to that. Thank you.
Councillor Sohi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do not want to leave any impression that we are not supporting police in this budget. Aside from the capital that we put into it, when you look at the change from 2014 to 2015, there's additional $10 million in the police budget. And out of that, $7.4 million is from the tax levy from 2014 to 2015. And if the lowest amount is approved, that tax levy support goes up to $10 million. Little less than 1% increase in the budget of police service from 2014 to 2015. I think we need to make that point. I absolutely agree with the mayor. We have done our share. The numbers he told us since 2008, more than 50% increase in police budget came from our end. We need to demand equity. The per capita support that we get from the province, $16 per person, not even accounting for inflation in the long term, and you compare that to $43 that other people in the province get. We need to continue to make that point. I understand that province is in difficult economic situation, but I have to remember a day when they were gushing in revenue. They shared their prosperity with us other than giving us money for the capital. I don't see much support from the province on the operation of the city, how we fund our services, even in good economic times. 90 million dollars of the police budget, if I understand correctly from the chief, goes toward dealing with people with mental health issues and addiction issues. 25% of the budget. That's health related cost. But we are picking up the pieces. And on the prevention side, the FCSS funding has not been adjusted at all since 2009. So we are paying more than our share of the FCSS funding as well. We are only obligated to pay 25%. We are up to, I think, 35 or 40% of what we are paying. So we're getting from the both ends. I think it is about time that that we make a stand and we say, you know, look, we need help. We need help in order to continue to provide safety and security to our citizens and to those who come visit us and to the surrounding areas, the people who work in the city or come do business in the city. We might have to adjust the budget come the when we do the analyzation and when we do the mill rate, but the approach that mayor is suggesting, we need to support him in his approach because he needs to take that message to the province that we cannot continue to do the business as usual. Things must change, and we need to show that support from council so he can take that strong message to the province. So I will urge council members not to support the higher amount, but support the lower amount, which will also show that we are not just walking away from our commitment, that we will be there, but we need other partners to deal with this ongoing problem. Thank you.
Councillor Oshry.
Well, you know, I look at this I'm trying to look at this at a higher level. I mean, the advocacy issue with the province is valid, for sure, and should be done. But the fact is, we don't have money from the province, nor will we get money from the province necessarily next year or the year after or the year after. So I don't think we're in a situation that we should be committing to spending more money on money that we don't have. And we may get it, and if we do, great. But if we don't, we're still on the hook, and the taxpayers are on the hook to spend that money if we commit to this today. And we have a finite amount of money. And I understand it's not finite. We could always increase the taxes by 8 or 10%. But I think we have a finite amount of money in the sense of what City Council thinks tax increase at a maximum would be appropriate. So with that in mind, we have to make some decisions of where we want to spend that money. And do we want to spend more money on policing, at which case it's going to be less on clearing snow, it's going to be less on mowing lawns, it's going to be less on transit services because we can't do everything. And I think that's the conversation that we need to have. Not necessarily just allocating funds to departments that ask for it. So, but since we haven't had that conversation, in my opinion, appropriately, and to the fact that the police service, all the power to them for what they do every day. However, they have had an ask that we've given into for years and years, you know, last few years in a row, and the capital asks that we've given into. We have to, at some point, say, look, until we have this conversation where we want to spend our money, let's hold the line. Let's spend the money that we've got, not the money that we don't have. And I think this is a situation where we can't spend the money that we don't have. So unless we're prepared to raise taxes higher or we're prepared to cut services elsewhere, we've got to say no at some point. And this, for me, is the place to say no. Thank you.
Councillor Gibbons?
Well, you know, I'm going to be talking from the end of town that does need the policing, and I back them up totally. I do support the mayor's motion to, we can't, not funding is not the answer. We need to move forward, we need to work, but at the same time, when the government, provincial government says they're new government and managing some things, I'm not sure about that, but good luck with the charter, Mr. Mayor, but I believe that somebody has to come to the table. The argument of policing from the rural to the urban and from the small urban to the big urban and that, you know, that goes back a lot of years. It's not starting just today. And yes, we can squeak and we can whatever, but the fact is we don't control their budget. They control their budget. Do we make them twig, twitch, whatever on the alert? Something happened, so I'm happy for that. But I'll support the mayor's second motion because I'd like to support number one and number two, but we got to be realistic. I did speak out yesterday with the fire department. I guess I'm speaking out right now about the police department. Thank you.
Councillor McKean?
Mr. Mayor, I have a question for you as the mover of the amendment.
Yep.
I guess my original assumption was that this would, we would not make a commitment on this until spring when we set the mill rate. Are you, so we're sort of holding the funds in abeyance, but that's
no,
not.
No, it's not a hold in abeyance. It's we authorize them to step up and then we fund what's necessary for that activity to occur in 2015. And then we deal with the consequences of the other half of that funding when we have more information after the provincial budget. So sometime between mill rate set and the budget for next year, we would know whether there's any help or not. If there isn't, you know, by default at minimum, it gets rolled in automatically to next year's budget. So that's the annualization portion for 2015.
So really we would have about a half a point in responsibility when we set the mill rate if we get no help from the province,
which we can deal with at that time, or because it doesn't actually get drawn on in 2015, we can deal with as part of the 2016 budget. Right. Council has that choice at mill rate or it can defer that to budget without any real tangible cash flow consequences. We used to do this for everything. We used to not annualize anything.
Right.
You always played catch up in the second year. We got out of that habit for the most part because you get surprised if you stack a lot of it up. In this case, sometimes it may be a valid strategy to spread it over 2 years, especially if there might be new information. There might or might not be, but especially if you're trying to create some dynamic tension. A little drama.
Well, I would just say I really appreciate all the comments from my colleagues, and you know, there's I think two positions. If you want to put the pressure on the provincial government, you don't fund this, either the amendment or the main motion. But I'm torn. I was torn at seeing REACH being used as an example the other day, and I'm torn with the police being used as well. I think the requests are legitimate, but we've kind of reached a place where, you know, I've almost reached my gag point on the increase on the taxes, and I do think that Edmontonians expect us to be really careful in this expenditure. And I, you know, to repeat some of my frustration from earlier, we are policing for the region, we're policing for Northern Alberta, And I am loath to put all that, the cost of that on the Edmonton taxpayer. If I remember correctly, Edmonton created 40% of the jobs in Canada in recent months or the last year, and that we cannot get through to other orders of government that the golden goose needs some help or it will start to falter and run into real difficulties. So I am swayed by Councillor Knack and his position that you draw a line somewhere. So knowing that the amendment will put us in the position of having to fund this package, I will not be supporting that either. Thank you.
Councillor Nicol.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. If this was strictly a business decision, and I'm not saying it is, but if we were to take the angle of a strictly business decision, some very simple questions have to be asked, right? And those questions go to output versus money put in, discussion of cost drivers. And the fact of the matter is that the cost drivers, from the conversations that I've been hearing, are driven elsewhere. At least in terms of the greater increase of those cost drivers, in terms of compliance, and in terms of filing, in terms of court time, and in terms of a whole pile of stuff. And that is what drives and undermines our budgets. And in doing that, we're probably asking the wrong or tackling the wrong questions. By throwing more men and more money at the problem does not address the fundamental drivers to the business. And that is a problem. Policing should not be run like a business. Don't get me wrong. But the amount of money that has been spent over the last 5 years, you've seen my statistics. I've heard Councillor Walters speak about this population statistics. They are incongruent, and they are, and so again, talking about those drivers, it's not like we're not providing 54 officers. You are getting some officers, and we have made significant investments in the helicopter and other areas. It is not that we are abandoning the department in any shape, form, or fashion. But there comes a point in time where other systems, and this is all about the new reality, is the city tries to do preventative social work as the province drives costs into the legal system, the federal compliance, whatever you want to call it. There's the systemic integration that is not being addressed and not being cleaned up, and we're the butt end of the bill. And the system is broken, to be quite frank, and it's driving us to become broke in the end. So, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the attempt on the amendment. But I have to agree with several other colleagues. The line has to be drawn, and because we cannot continue at the rate we are going, and the province must step up. It doesn't have a choice to step up, and it's not all about dollars either. It's also about red tape, bureaucracy. It's all about issues that they can deal with in a non-financial fashion if they chose to get their act together. And unfortunately, we've been dealing with a province that has been, well, how do we put it politely, in a state of flux. And yes, that's as polite as I'm going to put it. And I'm certainly hoping that from a systemic point of view, and that's how we have to look at this problem, it cannot be solved in isolation. Throwing more money, throwing more people at a problem is not the answer. And the answer lies in other, first of all, going down, prioritizing down a list of where we can save money on a legislative side to make it easier for the police to do their job, thereby allowing them to spend more time on the street to deliver the critical services that we require. And in doing that, following that path, it's not all about the money. So my argument is simply this. Let's prioritize on where the cost driver really is, and that is cleaning up the red tape and the bureaucracy in the system that's driving the costs for the police department. And then we can take a second look down the pipe as to the legitimacy and to the efficacy of throwing more men and more money towards the problem.
Is there anybody else wishing to speak? No? Okay. So we'll vote on the larger number first, which is the original version of the amendment. Everybody ready to vote? Please vote. And display the vote. And that's failed. And now on the second version of the motion, which is with the annual, without the annualization for this year, please vote. And display the vote, and that's carried. Okay, so do we want a report back at mill rate on where we're at on this?
Yes.
Do you want to just let it ride?
No, yes? I think we better get a report back.
Okay, we can work up a subsequent.
And Mr. Mayor, there was subsequent I wanted to make.
On this one?
On the police budget.
Later. Well, we've got one more. Okay. We've got one more. Actually, we've got one more police amendment to deal with here. So, and I think whatever happens with that, the same subsequent might apply about report back on mill rate prior to mill rate. So we can work up some wording for that, and we'll just remember that we're going to come back around to that. So now we're on to, we've asked an abundance of questions, but if there are further questions arising. Then that would be in order. Councillor McKean?
Yes, I'll just quickly introduce this, and I felt obliged to the police to bring this forward. I think I might have indicated in my last comments where I'll vote on it, but so this is for largely for policing to do with revitalization downtown, the arena, entertainment district, and a number, and of course the growing population. And I know that I'd be remiss if I didn't point out on Councilor Katarina's behalf that there are also 9 transit police officers in this package, and that he may have a subsequent motion depending on what happens here. I could withdraw it.
If you did, that would leave just Councillor Katarina's, which is stacked up right now for voting from 7.8 to 1.4.
If there are no objections, I'll withdraw my motion.
Is there any objection to the withdrawal of Op 30, the larger number? No? Okay, so Councillor McKean, that's withdrawn. Councillor Katarina, now what's up is your motion, which is... We'll deem that as having essentially moved forward in place of this one, which is for the 1 point. Well, let's get the funding source cleaned up because it was 1 point.
1.346 from ongoing and 243 from one time, but we're out of one time.
So Mayor Avison, on this one, if you did the 1.347, which is by my understanding, 674 in ongoing, 673 in annualization, that you could actually then use that annualization totally to fund $673,000 worth of one time. And so it basically takes the place of 673 that you have funded through ongoing sources at this point in time because you didn't have enough.
So the 1.346 ongoing would cover
the 243?
243 and then leave a residual of how much for ongoing?
So it would,
one time?
So it would actually then leave enough to then cover 430,000 worth of one time that you have now charged against ongoing.
Which, if we desired to, we could go back around to Councillor Gibbons' motion and someone else. If this passes,
yes.
That could be reapplied back against someone.
It could. And so then it becomes effective to actually pass this in its entirety and do that.
So your motion is actually 1.346. Period.
Yeah.
Councillor Caterina.
Okay, without the 243 for one time.
No, because this would cover that in the first year,
okay.
And it would leave some other residual potentially. So
yeah, okay, and the residual can help out.
But if I could be clear, I actually do think that the motion is for, if I'm not mistaken, it's for the 1346 plus the 243. Yeah. So it is for that.
Excuse me, on a point of order, I've lost myself.
Well, let me fix it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get the clarity on this too. So
Deputy Chief, you gave me those numbers. Do you need the 243 plus the 1.3?
If you were able to change that to fund transit.
If that's from ongoing, and then you draw 243 from annualization,
well, yes.
The available period. This creates the very annualization that funds it.
That's exactly it. So this would be fully funded. There would be no annualization needed next year. This would fully fund those nine, and we would use 243 of this money to cover the 243,000.
I just need to be clear in terms of what I need from a budget direction, if that's actually what you're trying to do. I would actually need a motion for 1,589,000, which actually gives us 673,000 in ongoing for 15, 673 in annualization, 243 in one time. That's what I need from a budget perspective.
Is that your intent, Councillor?
Yes.
Okay, can we get the motion to reflect that?
We'll just work on correcting
it. Councillor Nickel, does that compute?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, because it's an annualized package. He's just moving part of a package, but it's that's a valid question, Councillor. You can, I'll go to you to ask that question, but I just want to make sure that the motions.
Can you ask Ms. Rosen?
just clarification, when are these positions being hired?
Well, I'm assuming July 1st, if the annualization's for half the year. But that's a good question. Councillor Henderson, if you could ask that question to the police, that would probably be helpful. I don't have, can I have the chair? Somehow I don't have the chair.
I don't know how you do the annualization.
Councillor Henderson?
To the police, I'm confused as to why there's, what would we be doing with one-time money and what clearly looks like an ongoing program to me?
And we have to purchase, like, their radios, like, there's some kit and clothing and stuff like that we do as a startup cost, and then we reduce it in the following year, typically. So there's recruit class training, there's equipment that we need to make sure that all of the officers are outfitted properly, vehicle purchases that need to get factored in, and that's why we have that transfer to reserve.
Right, so that's that. So the 748 that's coming out in year two.
Is the one-time cost. So are you think you're looking at the next service package, though, Councillor?
No, I'm looking at this one, page 501.
That would be the one-time cost for all.
Yeah, so that's the one-time cost for everything.
Yeah.
That would include the 40. So in that 748 is 243 that relates specifically to this package.
Okay. It's interesting for future reference. If we know that that's one-time money coming out in the second year, why that wouldn't just come off the annualization in future? Would that not be a more sensible way to bookkeep it?
So, Councillor Henderson, I think that what you're worried about is how we show it to you. I can assure you that in terms of how we do it in the most efficient way possible.
Well, but if we're, I mean, this raises the question for other annualizations on police packages, that if we're, in actual fact, we're putting ongoing money in, which we then take out in year two, we've added into the annualization in year one,
And so you're having the wrong...
We're actually putting more money in. It's actually always partly on. It's always partly one time. So the annualization could be less, could it not?
So you're actually having the wrong conversation is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Well, because in actual fact, what we've done is increased the ongoing unintentionally.
Yeah.
And then merely spent the money from the first year.
I understand what you're saying.
So the annualization of the package which we just passed might be a little bit lower next year.
Yes.
Okay. That would be the force and effect of that.
Good story.
Which would. See? I didn't even anticipate that.
All right.
Good question.
Okay. So I understand that now. So that's why 243 is... Okay. All right. Okay. That helps. There was another question that somebody else can ask it. I can't remember what it was at this point that came up.
What's start date?
Oh, what's the start date on these? Because you originally said that this package was going to start in October, I think. But I'm guessing we're now calculating that this starts in July. That's a change from the original package, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
For these nine, the start date's July.
Right. So so we can't just take this annualization and divide it in half. No way. We wouldn't anyway. I'm not even going to go there. My mind is going. Thanks.
Councillor Sohi.
So, if this passes and nine officers are hired, we council can't direct you where to deploy those resources, even though your intent is to deploy them on as in partnership with ETS. But that could change in the future based on your business needs and your business model.
That's true, but I can tell you we have to become before council on a regular basis, and our intent is to keep that unit and section running as proposed.
Okay, so it will be there regardless.
Yes, and we see value in this process. We know transit, in terms of what happens on it, that this will actually have a preventive deterrence and will work in our favor in terms of the crime management.
So this is kind of a gentleman's agreement, right? So...
Which the Police Act doesn't strictly speaking contemplate, but you may choose to characterize it that way, if you choose.
Because I would support it with that. I'll stop it there.
That notion.
That understanding.
Okay. Councillor Knack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's assume this package wouldn't be funded. We just did make a commitment to funding another 35. Or 17. 35. Sorry. I guess I'd be curious as to... I just heard the... Yeah. If I'm looking at it and saying, obviously you're going to prioritize your needs, if all you had is 35, do you think of those 35, some of them would be this because there was obviously a successful program?
Not based on our discussion, the priorities we have, no. We've already looked at these 17 for the front line and the specialized units.
So that would still be lower on the priority list based, even though you had a very successful pilot.
Okay. Absolutely, because we've got these other pressures.
Okay.
One, three, four, six.
Thank you.
Three and ongoing.
Councillor McKean?
So, and I apologize if this question was asked, Deputy Chief, because we can't tell you how to deploy resources, and yet this is a very specific package for transit. Can we anticipate that there'll be nine officers used for transit policing?
That's our intent. That's what we want to see happen.
But I suppose some other priority could come up, and
it could, but it wouldn't be transit in isolation. We look at the whole service each time we have a pressure, and we do it on the basis of what's in front of us. So I've got to emphasize, we've seen good value in this process, and that demonstrated value, it wouldn't be the first choice as I sit here based on what I know of our environment today. So I can leave it at that.
Transit policing would not be your first choice?
Not the first choice to cut. If we were looking at some other pressures, I would look across the organization.
Okay.
I can offer that at this moment in this time.
Because my understanding of it, and tell me if I'm wrong, is this is real sort of basic community policing. You're right in with the people. You're getting to know those who are riding these trains all the time, problem guys.
Problem individuals, high visibility, high level of anecdotal feedback from the public, in terms of the comfort they get from that, seeing that uniform.
Right.
And we've had demonstrated value in terms of the crime management. It's working.
Yeah, and you, the guy with the 83 warrants might have been exceptional, but I'm supposed that you probably are running across people with warrants all the time on the train.
We are, and we get to know them very well.
Right, exactly. Okay. And that's why I'll be supporting this, because I think it is a really true and great form of community-level policing, which I'm always supportive of.
Councillor Oshry.
Okay, so let me ask this question again. So when we allocate funds to the police department and then we allocate more from your ask, where there's the funded ones and then the unfunded ones, at the end of the day you tell us that you're going to put it towards these different programs? Sorry, not at the end of the day. In the paperwork, but you just said, and correct me if I'm wrong, there might be other priorities that come up that might force you, in your opinion, to not put the resources to where it says in our little books here, correct?
In my policing experience, that has happened. It is not our intent to do that. Our intent is to be legitimate and out front and transparent around it.
So then aren't we just giving you more money, just increasing your budget overall? I mean, that's really what we're doing here, correct?
I know what you're saying, but I don't agree with the intent of your comment.
Well, no, I'm not trying to say that you're misleading us. Don't get me wrong. That's not my intention. But what I'm saying is that ultimately we don't decide. We all know that. So we're increasing your budget. You then allocate it to where you think is important. And in this situation, initially it might be towards the LRT. But at the end of the day, if we have a run on B&Es or something, I mean, I'm making that up, but something, you're going to allocate resources accordingly, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Rosen, do we have to spend all the money that we have, or can we carry it over?
So all the money that you have, from what perspective?
No, it was more of a facetious question, I guess.
Okay.
You don't have to answer.
Yeah, what money? Councillor Gibbons?
I'm going to speak just on the Ms. Mayor, similar to what Councillor McKean said about the fact is that these police are front and they're right in the midst of everybody. Wasn't too many years ago when we opened up the up the Southgate and then up to Heritage, when everybody was writing in emails to us saying, meaning we're going to have those people from the North End riding the LRT and cause trouble all the way through. The fact is, there was a problem. In 2001, when I got elected, 2002, we had a gang fight on New Year's Eve on the LRT, and it went into a Senate report, and even if the Senate report was kind of jaded, it was the reality is we started to have fake cameras to real security people to police, and the fact is that when you ride it now and you talk to people, people are sitting there with their feet up on top of the chairs or pushing or bullying or their whatever, and I think we have to continue that we have to make it safe for people to ride. As we open up more LRT lines and everything, and you have to make sure that people want to ride it. Why are we spending all this money if people fear on the fact that they're writing it? So this is a few dollars, and it all adds up, Councillor Ossery, to the point that you have to spend all the money. But the fact is, I'm just saying that it's not a bad thing to look at. It's not the big ask, but it's a little bit of an ask, and it actually can help in a particular circumstances. Thank you.
Councillor Nicol.
Going towards Councillor Oshry's questions regarding redeployment, on page 97 of my my questions of 206, in terms of redeployment and the potentiality of redeployment, in terms of here it gives a total list of violent crimes and from top to bottom the weighting that you put towards it and that sort of thing. I guess the question that Councillor Oshry is trying to get at, and I'm trying to get at as well, is as a propensity of what's the guarantee that we're going to stick with the plan as times move forward?
First off, we see the value of this plan.
We all see the value of the plan, but as weights go, right, in terms of other things that happen in the city, where does it fit in the priorities?
it's not the number one priority. It's a fluid environment, and I'm careful. I don't want to say it's number 10 or number 8, but it's not number one in terms of priority. Our front line is
of course it's not. Yeah, because so, like on the first on the line is murder, first degree. Okay,
yeah.
We get that one. Yeah, that's number one. Right, but then it goes all the way down to threatening or harassing phone calls. Right, so it is. I'm asking about prioritization of your commitment to the program from a policing perspective, I guess. Where does it fit?
It fits in terms of we see value in the program, and I know I've said that, but what I want to emphasize here is we have to account for what we do through to the police commission. We also have to come back before this body and tell you what we did with those resources. We have to answer that question. So, and that will happen, and I know it'll be a question next year, so I just want to, you know, state that. The other piece is as a priority, it's you know, our sexual assaults or domestic violence, those are key issues. Traffic is a priority out there also. Ideally, I could take my traffic units and dedicate them towards sexual assault. We have not done that. We have them still doing traffic. Once in a while, we'll grab a couple of resources there to help, but that unit stays and functions. And that's how we operate, because we see value in each of those pieces because of the demands we get from the public. And as we see a new issue on the horizon, we bring it back before commission through this process if we see a need for resources. Mm-hmm. But over and above that, over the last few years, we've done $20 million worth of reallocation internally in looking at those priorities. It's an ongoing process.
Well, you have my greatest of sympathies given the nature and the changing rapidity of crime, and you know it in and of itself. But I'm just to speak to it with my last couple of minutes here, Mr. Mayor. I have to agree with Councillor Oshry that in the absence of a clear setting of a priority, this is just an increase in overall budget. And I understand that you're committed to it, but you can't promise it because of things that might happen. And so, in effect, it's exactly as Councillor Oshry has outlined. This is adding to the budget. And I go back to my earlier arguments that I made on the previous motion. Thanks for the answers, though.
Councillor Sohi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The last time we added any transit security was in 2010. And since then, our system has grown, and we will be opening up the new line soon, next year. In a question to Councillor Loken, our transit security officials told us that we would need at least 6 TSOs if this funding package is not approved. So either we can approve 9 here, or we can approve 6 on the other end in order to please the NATE line. I think this package, what it does, not only provides their partnership opportunity working together, but also it covers the entire line from Century Park to Clearview and to NATE. Yes, we don't have the ability to tell the commission how to allocate resources when those resources are allocated to them by council. But council does have the ability to add to the budget. We also have the ability to reduce the budget. Right? And if sometime in the future we see that we are not getting the value of their partnership, that those resources are not deployed as we thought they would be, we would have that ability in the future to reduce the police budget by 9 positions without intervening into the operations of the police commission and into the police service, because we have that ability to do so. I hope that council approves this. We talked about provincial responsibility related to the last package, but I would be hard pressed to make a comment that this is where the province should play a role, because we build the system. It is our infrastructure. It is providing skill to the people that we serve, and these are the people who have used the system, will continue to use the system, and they feel more comfortable when they see officers riding in uniform, and it makes our system more safe and also increase that perception of system being safe, which is equally important. Thank you.
Councillor Henderson?
Yeah, I can't, I mean, and I'm frustrated because in some ways I understand the arguments from the councillors that are saying this is what we need, but we just funded a growth package, and this is growth. And it's looking attractive to us here because these are the ones that we want, and the other ones are generic, and are the ones the police were saying they had to have to deal with growth in this city. And I don't think we can have our cake and eat it. I don't think we can have both of those things. Either this is part of growth and should be a priority for the city to deal with out of growth, or it's a low priority, which I'm hearing them sort of saying, but they thought we might pay for it anyway. I was prepared to go where we went with the first package, but I did so very reluctantly. I will be worrying all night whether I cast my vote the right way. And I just can't go further to support this. If this is what council wanted, then this is the package we should have put on the table. And we didn't. We put the other one on the table in response to what the police were telling us was where they were going to put their resources in terms of growth.
Councillor Knack?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess what's always hard when we do police is that we have two different packages, but again, going back to that point, that realistically it should just be one large unfunded package broken down with the money we're looking at. And it's because of that, and again, this is said with the utmost of support, I desperately think we should have some LRT. It sounded like it was a very successful program, and I'm hoping now that we have 89 new officers that are going to be starting in 2015, that 9 of them can be allocated towards this, which is why I don't want to add another $1.589 million. And again, it's just because this is just adding to the overall pile, because what we're not funding, unlike other programs when we do operating, is we're actually funding a specific use. Here we're just adding another $1.58 million to their overall budget. So I think we've got a lot, and I really hope that if this doesn't pass, that you do make that choice as you go through your priorities and say, if this was a successful pilot, there's probably value in looking at those 89 and allocating some to that. So again, I'm not going to be supporting it, but just I feel terrible because I actually really like this program, and I hope it actually is done regardless of whether or not this passes. So thank you.
Councillor Loken?
Well, I hope at the very least this gets support. Having sat here and listened to this for the last hour, there has to be a certain amount of trust when our police service comes forward and asks for specific, they articulated their needs more than once. There has to be a certain amount of trust that when they come forward and they say that this is what we want these positions for, that that's what they're going to use these positions for, pending the fact that, yes, there's hours, their hours can be a higher priority. In any given shift that a police officer is out there on shift, anything can happen. If a traffic unit is out there and there's a major sexual assault happening, if there's a B&E in progress, if there's a bank robbery in progress, and those guys are right there, of course they're going to go and react to that. Do we expect that they're going to continue to do their radar when there's a crime being committed a block away that's in progress? No. So to sit here and think that we're experts on policing and you should know every little thing about policing is ridiculous, and it's foolish to keep going through this roundabout argument about that. Either you approve it or you don't. And if you approve it, then you trust that they're going to use the positions for what they've asked the positions for. And if you don't, then don't approve it. And if it comes back next time, and you don't think in a year that the police have done what they're supposed to do with those positions, then you can ask them that then, and don't approve it then. But to sit here and micromanage and try to figure out what they're doing on the street every day and how they're doing their operation is a complete waste of time. I mean, we have to trust them when they come forward and they ask us for these things, that this is what they're using these positions for. So I hope this gets support, at least.
Deputy Mayor, take the chair.
have the chair.
I like the idea of this. As a rider of the system, I've appreciated seeing the members there. I hope that within the resources that we have allocated that it will be possible to do some of this. I hope that in the future, if additional resources are available, that this is something that could be expanded. But I drew my line in the sand on the last motion. Doesn't mean this isn't good to do, but I drew my line in the sand on the last motion. And so I don't want to lose track of this, but I'm not going to be able to support it at this time for primarily fiscal reasons, not because I don't think it's a good idea. If it's a high-yield thing for the police service to do, I'd love to see it happen. If it's lower yield and it's something that we need to do, then we'll need to evaluate that. And if the council sees a will to add this now, then I'll certainly respect that decision. But if we get some additional help from the province in the spring or in a year's time after that, this would be a great candidate for that sort of thing. But as I said, I drew my line on the last motion. So I'd like to be able to do this, but at this point, for fiscal reasons and jurisdictional reasons, I'm challenged. So. Doesn't mean I wouldn't like to support it in the future if circumstances are different, but until the circumstances change, I'm afraid I can't support it. I will take back the chair and go to Councillor Essinger.
Thank you. As I mentioned the last vote, I don't believe it's necessary out of this budget to support this package. I feel that we need to be responsible to our citizens. It's not nothing personal. I trust the police to do their job. I think they do a great job. But we have been presented with a number of unfunded packages. We've debated them. We use our best wisdom, and we make those decisions. It's not personal. It's taking our responsibility as councillors, and I feel I have a fiscal responsibility, and I cannot support this package. Thank you.
Councillor Caterina to close.
Yeah,
if there's no one else, go ahead, Councillor Caterina.
Thank you for that, and respect all the comments. Pilot projects are put forward for a reason, and a pilot project as successful as this one, we talked about with the one gentleman with 80 some odd warrants, but the total amount were somewhere in the neighborhood of 380 some odd warrants were cleaned up because of this. A couple of hundred other issues were cleaned up because of this, fare evasion. But most importantly, the safety and security, the perception of the public out there, and it was very, very clear to me from the response from the communities of these stations, of all the riders on the system, that they felt much, much better and willing to ride these systems. So we're spending a ton of money on LRT. We're opening up the Nate line. We're opening up the Southeast line. And if this is the type of resources that we don't put into these lines, you can expect what we have now, the fear of riding these systems. And the money invested in this is actually probably the best way to increase that ridership. If we all believe that transit is the way to go and finding ways to get people to use it, this is probably the best way to go about it, is making them feel safe and secure on those lines by having the EPS teamed up with transit security. And you know, there's other places where we could have drawn the line. I'm sure I could have drawn the line on, you know, 30 ops ago here, but we don't, because there are certain things that are extremely important to move forward. This has been mentioned, not this particular profile, but some of the others, that this is like a business. Well, if it's like a business, pretend that this is insurance that you hope you never have to use, but it's probably one of the best things that businesses buy is insurance, hoping that they never have to use it. So there's been a lot of comments like that. We have to remember, this is the city of Edmonton. We have many, many programs that we absolutely commit to that we are going to fund regardless. All programs are important, and to have a list of priorities, I would think I would like to see that as well. Police, fire, those are two core services. I don't know what other services are core to the well-being of our citizens, but these types of things deal with life and death. You know, not whether they have an additional hour of swimming available or not. So I don't consider these in the same category, but they lend themselves to the quality of life for all Edmontonians and being able to use that alternate mode of transportation if that's what they wish to do. And I thought the idea was to run pilots in order to see whether they're good or bad, successful or not successful, whether they make a difference or don't make a difference. This one made a huge difference and huge results. So I can just imagine the arguments with all the pilots we have going on in 2015. We have all kinds of pilots going on. And I think the expectation is that if the pilot is there to test to see whether it's a good way to go. If all the pilots are successful in 2015 and then we come back at budget time next year and say, well, we're going to draw the line. The pilot was good, but we're not going to move ahead with that. I don't think that bodes well for this council and for the city as a whole, and I don't believe the public will have that trust that when we do enter into some of these types of agreements to see whether they work or don't work, will actually be followed through on, with the issues that we have from Clearview to Corona Station to the downtown. You might not be seeing it now on the rest of the line, and you might not see it on the Nate line for a while, and you might not see it on the Southeast line for a while. But if nothing is maintained or the program isn't put into place, you will. You will see the same issues that we have to go through on a day-to-day basis. Some of our issues are just physical issues of how they were designed. SEPTED was not even an acronym when the old line was built. So nobody was thinking about those sorts of things. And I can tell you that, from personal experience, from family members, they wouldn't ride the system after 5 o'clock in the evening. They wouldn't get off at certain stations. That's just reality. Not to say that the system isn't safe. The system is safe for the most part. But reality is that it could be much safer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Please vote on AUK 50. And display the vote. And that has failed. All right. We're up to... There was a will for subsequent on the previous one. Councillor Loken?
Yeah, subsequent. The administration worked with the Edmonton Police Commission to provide a report after the provincial budget is delivered and prior to the setting of the mill rate on the status of annualization, page 500, and the unfunded police positions, page 501 of the budget, and implications for the multi-year staffing plan.
I'll second that. So then we get to check in once we have more information. Any questions on that? No? Okay. Please vote. So this brings these matters back to us late first quarter, early second. Display the vote. Vote. Display the vote, and that's carried. Okay. So we won't lose sight of this. Next up.
That's right.
Sorry? Do you have a subsequent?
Yep.
Okay, Councilor.
It's related to what I asked for the numbers, per capita numbers.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, that Edmonton Police Commission provided a report with the per capita cost comparisons of policing cost between the city of Edmonton and other large Canadian municipalities.
Second.
Including the reasons for any disparities.
Second.
Good question, yep. I think comprehensive clear data on that would be helpful for us.
And if I may, Councilor Sohi, a discussion.
Councilor Nicol?
Any discrepancy in metrics should be discussed so we can have the real comparables, right? Because we did have a comment about the fleet being in, not being in one jurisdiction and so on. So please bring those forward so we can have true numbers. if you understand what I mean. Thank you.
And then the timing on that, do we want that with the other report so it's a day of policing, or do we want that earlier? Or, I mean, realistically, it's a couple months turnaround to do this degree of work. It would probably come back at the same time. Do we say come back with the other report? Is that friendly to everybody? Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's a great motion. Any further questions on that one? So that it's not on the board, but the timeline's the same as the previous motion?
That would be March, Mr. Mayor.
More or less, yeah. March, April. Please vote. Display the vote. That's carried. Okay, we got 11 minutes left. I was ridiculously optimistic about thinking we might finish today, though the end is in sight. Next up is Councillor Anderson, Op 33.
This refunds a program that we've been merrily pilfering money from for years, and is tapped out. I mean, there has been funding going in, but we've been slowly knocking it down. So this is a place where we've actually been spending less money rather than more. And the problem is, it's essentially the fund that we use to try and get owners to preserve their historic buildings. We've been losing more and more of them. I know there's been some really notable ones that we've lost this year. And I think more important, this fund is already under-resourced in dealing with some of the larger buildings that we know were coming up. Things like Buena Vista, like the Molson site. This was designed to deal with much smaller individual buildings, so our ability to be able to do the larger buildings is... So this is a step in the right direction. Is it going to be enough? No, probably not, but I think we're in a position where we need to be putting this money back in or we're going to be really hooped. And the trouble is, once these buildings are gone, there's no putting them back. These are buildings that are on our lists, that we're saying are historically important, and that we're not able to hold on to and sustain, and we've got to give them the resources to be able to do it. The fund as it stands right now is tapped out. So I think either we're saying we mean it or we don't. And I think we need to give them the resources to try and do what they can to preserve what we can at this point, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Are there questions on this one? Your source of funds is the ongoing available.
My source has got funds ongoing, so it's already in the numbers that we've been
running.
It's
within the numbers.
It doesn't add anything at this point to what we have up there.
Okay. Are there any questions on this one? Anyone wishing to speak to this one? Are we ready to vote on this one?
Just say no, it's good to top up this fund. It's high time.
Thank you. Councillor Nicol, Councillor Walters?
Yes, small price to pay for memory.
Any other comments? Seeing none, please vote on Op 33. Display the vote. That's carried. Op 34, Councillor Esslinger, if you could take the chair.
Have the chair.
This is a reduction. We'll find another way to get this model sorted out. This is an ongoing savings that just levels out what's needed for the regional initiatives program to what's actually needed next year. There's another one-time piece that I've encouraged administration to find a different way to bring forward. So that's the rationale for this 310. It leaves 500 roughly in there, which funds the much needed staffing up, which was a funded package. So I'm trimming the funded package by 310 and restoring that to the tax levy.
Okay, questions?
Sorry. This is Op 34. Refers to page 382.
Is that all, Mr. Mayor?
Yep.
Okay, I'll go to questions. I'll start with Councillor Walters.
Just the rationale for it, Mr. Mayor. I must have been out of the room. I don't recall that motion.
Mr. Clausen?
The question is whether we could, with the building of the model, work with essentially some of our other departments to have an outcome that would still work for us. We've engaged with the other departments. We will contribute X amount of dollars, and we will come perhaps over a little longer period of time. We'll make it work. Period.
If you go to...
pieces around to add up to that, the money that's being reduced.
Well, and if you go to 382, you'll note that it's a 851,000 in the first year, and then it drops by 298, which is, if you take the 11 out, which is the inflation on the three bodies and their overheads, the 298 coming out is not needed ongoing. I'm not proposing to fund it from another source because we don't have one-time money. We'll figure that out later, but it does not need to be 851 ongoing from the tax levy.
I got it.
That's the reduction.
Thank you. I see no further questions. Any further comments, Mr. Mayor, to close?
Trim, trim, trim. That's all I'm saying. Actually, no, it's just one trim, not three. That's my close. It's allocated back to the tax levy. It drops the tax levy by 0.03. Woo! Hey, every little bit counts.
That's right. So with that, I'm going to ask everyone to please vote and display the vote. And that decrease is carried.
Slow.
And I'll return the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Claussen, for taking that one for the team. Now we're at Op 35, which is that. Well, actually, just a second. A couple of things we should maybe deal with in the remaining couple of minutes that we have here, which is that we have now the snow and ice control policy. I don't think we should debate that, but we had said that once we have it and add it to the agenda, we would debate it. So we could probably deal with adding this and then we officially have it. So there's that, and there's one other thing that's in the addition. Madam Clerk?
Building Canada Fund.
And that helps us figure out how we're going to deal with Yellowhead tomorrow. So I'd suggest if we take motions to add both of those.
I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
We had 11.3 Building Canada Fund project, 16.5 snow and ice control policy.
Okay. And seconded by, I think, Councillor Esslinger was the first voice I heard there. But
it was Ben.
And then we'll have the benefit of these overnight. So please vote to add those to the agenda. And display the vote. And I actually, if I could pass the chair to Councillor Esslinger for a moment.
Have the chair.
It's a bit of a placeholder, but I'll move that the Corporate Revenues Department Tax Levy Branch 2015 operating budget decrease by X from whatever's left in the $9 million funding available on an ongoing basis from funding available to City Council in the ongoing funding.
Second.
So, if there's anything left in the $9 million, this motion will give it back to the tax levy, which was assumed, but this would force us to actually vote to do that as the final amendment. So it may be exhausted by the time we get to it, but if there isn't, then X is whatever's left in it, reduce the tax levy. So it occurred to me we hadn't actually made that, so I'll make it. So that's...
Okay, and Councilor Walters second that.
Okay.
So return the chair.
Let's just deal with any process issues right now. Councillor Anderson.
I thought I heard you at the beginning of the mid-afternoon break ask if there was an update on the categories of money, and the answer was no, but they could have it. Is that available for the screen before we leave or not?
Do you have one right now, or would you get it for us for tomorrow morning?
Could we get it to you for tomorrow? Because there really wasn't much of a change prior to the police motions. Now there's a change.
There's some significant changes, a couple moving pieces. So first order of business tomorrow, we'll start with the update on where we're at with that. Okay, that's fair. And on process, Councillor McKean.
Your last motion, does that have an effect in coming years then? That's what I thought I heard you say.
On an ongoing basis, but if there's tax levy that is not needed, then generally it's not our practice to take it. We could also use it to fund annualization, I suppose, would be a valid amendment to this if there's anything in there. But
it's going to be so little that I don't think you need to spend much time on it.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's pretty much tapped. So it's a housekeeping motion for the dribs and drabs that's left in the $9 million fund.
I just wondered if it left us with less money in future years.
It does lower the base, but so it does leave you with less going forward. It's a fair question. Yeah. But we'll debate that when we get to it, if there's anything to debate. Okay, I figured that was better to just clear out the cobwebs there before starting on another one. But just so we're clear, we'll start with Op 35. at 1:30 tomorrow, and then Op 36, Op 37, Op 38, and then we've pushed back the snow one, and we've got this one stacked up that I just made, which is just a housekeeping. Once we've gone through all of those, then we'll have to deal with the Building Canada Yellowhead 50th, 75th Street stuff on the Capitol, then any other subsequent motions that we have, and then we'd be in a position to vote on the thing. So that may be possible to do tomorrow, but warn your Friday morning people that, depending on how much yakking there is tomorrow, that might not happen. So I think we can finish tomorrow, but I thought we might have finished today, and I was horribly, horribly wrong. So, yep, this beard is actually growing into my brain and distorting my thinking now. So I think we're done for today. See you at 1:30 tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.